for everyone here. Hallelujah. Let's go to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And before I start, let's go to the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. So, verse number 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. We are through the word of wisdom, through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. We are done with that. To another, faith. The gift of faith, we are done with that. And I told you, the gift of faith is the one, the gift of faith is the one that also is the leading gift into the gift of healings, gifts of healings, and the working of miracles and prophecy. So next comes the gifts of healings. Last time we covered and we completed the gifts of healings. And last time I differentiated between the demonic healing. I will not go into that. The characteristics of demonic healing. What happened when you... There are symptoms, characteristics that you can recognize when you received healing, not from God, but from a demon or from a deity, because they also have the limited power to heal people and give them temporary relief. And we saw what are the kinds of healings that people are using. And so many of them were able to realize that some of the healings that they were working in or they were doing were demonic healings, like I talked about the psychic healing, the Reiki healing, the crystal healing, and all those stuff. But the gist of it, and how we saw how it is also being used in the church, the activities related to psychic healing, Reiki healing, how it is practiced in the church, because some pastors doing some things to heal people, we can recognize that it is a practice of the Reiki healing, of the psychic healing, and all sorts of things. But tonight we are going to come on the gift which is after the gifts of healings. We are going to come on the working of miracles. The gift of working of miracles. Okay, now when we talk about miracles, you say miracles, signs, and wonders. Now miracles, signs, and wonders have different meaning, but they fall under the same category of miracles. So I am going to teach you what is... We are going to look at miracles, signs, and wonders, especially the working of miracles. But we are going to understand what are miracles, what are signs, and what are wonders. Okay, first coming to miracles. This is the definition that the Holy Spirit gave me to explain. Miracles are that which surpass the laws of science, nature, and human abilities. Miracles are that which surpass the laws of science, nature, and human abilities, bringing to manifestation that which is impossible for human intelligence and power, confirming the existence of a supernatural force. So miracles are that which surpass the laws of science, nature, and human abilities, bringing to manifestation that which is impossible for human intelligence and power, confirming the existence of a supernatural force. That is a miracle. Miracle is the only activity, is the only gift. Miracle is the gift that will confirm that God exists, and that will confirm the power of God weighted above the power of men. Are we understanding? What are signs? Okay, let's come to wonders. What are wonders? Wonders also fall under the category of a miracle. A wonder is a work of miracle that shocks, amazes, and convicts a human being. The amazement, the shock, the conviction that come, oh, what did I see? It's impossible. That is a wonder. Okay. Thirdly, what are signs? Signs are bringing humans, listen to this now. Signs are bringing humans to the acknowledgement of a supernatural force and deity through the working of miracles and wonders. Signs are bringing humans to the acknowledgement of a supernatural force and deity through the working of miracle and wonder. So miracles and wonders are done to bring a human being to the acknowledgement that there is some power that works beyond even what we know. There is a power, there is a God, there is a spirit being that can work something beyond our intelligence, beyond our understanding of science, beyond our ability. It makes human beings to acknowledge about a supernatural force. It can be God, or it can also be an idol. It can also be a deity. Now, for your understanding, miracles and wonders are signs. Everyone say miracles and wonders are signs. Everyone say that. Miracles.
Miracles and wonders are signs.
They are signs. What signs? Either they will direct someone to God, either they will direct someone to the devil. Either they will direct someone to an idol or to a deity. How do people start to put their trust in idols? How do people start to put their trust in deities? How do people start to put their trust in a tree? Because they saw that the flood came and destroyed everything in their village. Everything in their village was shattered. Big infrastructures and everything that was big and huge and were shattered. But they saw that the flood did not destroy a tree. It was still standing. And the people of the village regarded that this tree is a miracle, because something that the law of the nature also could not come against this tree. So this tree is a god, and they made that tree a god in that village. What made them acknowledge that tree as a supernatural force, a miracle and a wonder? Okay, so I want to, before I start off with the working of miracles, I want to give you a perspective that miracles and wonders, how it is used to acknowledge the existence of a God who created heaven and earth, and of a God who sent Jesus Christ to the world to die for the sins of the people. In the same way, miracles and wonders are used to acknowledge other things, objects, things in the nature, idols as God. So both miracles and wonders work as a signpost. They are signs. Are we understanding miracles, signs, and wonders now? People need to get that. Miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracle and wonders fall into a category, but what are signs? Signs are actually bringing humans to the acknowledgement of a supernatural force and deity through the working of miracles and wonders. Okay? Hallelujah. In India, there was a big flood. There was some flood in the North India, but there was an idol that was erected. And they were showing the videos that the flood was destroying everything. But the idol stood there. So they believed, oh, this idol is this God who has power. And even the floods could not destroy that idol. Do we understand that? So they, this idol is God, really God, you know. Though it is an idol, but they acknowledge it as God, because there was something supernatural about it. The raging floods could not destroy that idol. Mm-hmm. There was something I saw. Someone sent me something, and there was in the refrigerator, in their freezer. You know, in the freezer where you freeze the water to ice. So they automatically, an elephant was formed in their freezer. Elephant was formed in their freezer. And they said, wow, this is supernatural. How can an elephant be formed in the shape of an elephant in the form of ice? And they took that ice and they preserved it somewhere, because they said, this is God that appeared in our freezer. So these things that happen, that is how a spirit being can draw attention of a person to acknowledge that thing is God. And that is how God draws attention of people. That's why Jesus did miracles. We will come to that. Because he did miracles as a sign to show that he is God, and he is the Son of God sent. He is the Messiah that is promised in the scriptures. Are we understanding miracles, wonders, and signs? Okay, let's go ahead with the working of miracles. Let me start off with the miracles of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to see. You can read your Bible and study about miracles, about the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels, about the miracles even that happened in the Old Testament, the wonders that were performed by the hand of Moses and Aaron when they brought the people out of Egypt. And all those things, why he was performing the wonders, you know, miracles and wonders. Why? Because he wanted to make Pharaoh believe that there is a supernatural power which is above your snake, which is above your power of your sorcery. So he continued to perform miracles. God continued to perform miracles through the hand of Moses to make Pharaoh, that stubborn man, acknowledge that there is a God. Okay? So the miracles of Jesus were signs to confirm that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. The miracles of Jesus were signs to confirm that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Every miracles and wonders performed by the power of God. Listen to this. Every miracles and wonders performed by the power of God will glorify God. Will glorify God and lead people to Christ. To know that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth and life. And no one can go to the Father except through him. That is the purpose of miracles and wonders in the kingdom of God. Okay? The only purpose that God performs a miracle through a person, or God performs a miracle without an intervention of anyone sometimes, is because that he wants to be glorified. And through that miracle, he wants people to be led to Jesus Christ, to acknowledge Jesus as the only highest power, as the superpower above, as the only God above all gods, the Lord above all lords. That is the reason, that is the purpose of God performing a miracle. Are we understanding? That is the purpose of God performing a miracle. Okay, we will come to the later part of how to differentiate, but this is the purpose. Every miracle and wonder performed by the power of God will glorify God and will lead people to Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ. If there is another purpose other than this that I am saying, that miracle or wonder is not by God. All right? If the miracle that the man of God performed, and after performing the miracle, he started to tell people that I am someone great and makes himself God. He is not a servant of God, because he used that miracle to draw people to draw to himself, or draw to his power, or to acknowledge his anointing above the power of God. Hallelujah. When you read the Bible, we will come to the miracles of Jesus. And the Bible records that the miracles of Jesus were signs. They were sign. Everything was a sign that he did. I will show you that from the scripture. And even the servants of God who performed miracles, they performed the miracle, and they did not say, oh, I performed the miracle, you know that I am some superhuman. I have some special abilities. No, none of them did that. They led people to God and acknowledged that this is done by the Lord himself. When Moses is the man who performed one miracle after another, yet he never told Pharaoh that he is something, but he told Pharaoh, God has commanded his people to go. Let his people go. And he is doing that. He is doing that because he wants his people to go. So a man that performs a miracle for God, he is the man who speaks on behalf of God, and is a man who is sent to deliver God's people, or to perform the purposes of God against the purposes of the enemy. That is the purpose of miracles. Okay? Let's go to John chapter number 2. John chapter number 2 and verse number let's start from verse, we know this John chapter number 2, about the wedding in Cana of Galilee, about what happened there. Jesus produced wine supernaturally there. Okay? So let's start from verse number 6. Now there were set. Okay, let's start from verse number 1 itself. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." Now why did he say, "My hour has not yet come"? I have taken a sermon, a teaching about the bread from heaven long time back. I don't think people might remember it. Long time back. And there I told you that the first believer who believed in Christ was John the Baptist. And the first witness that witnessed, the evangelist that witnessed Christ, was the Holy Spirit. Okay? So when you compare the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and when you study the Gospels carefully, you will see parallel events in all the Gospel. Similar events in all the Gospel. But when you come to the Gospel of John, there is a lot mentioned in the Gospel of John which are not existing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So when you start to compare the events, you will understand, and when you study your Bible carefully with the help of the Holy Spirit, you will be able to place events, okay? What happened one after the other? What happened? You will understand, when did Jesus go for the 40 days fasting? You will understand when Jesus appeared to the disciples, that when they were catching fish, and told Peter, "Follow me, I will make you fishers of men." And Peter followed, and all those. You will understand the events. So I took a study in that sermon, and I showed you that the first evangelist was the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus was called to step into ministry, the first thing what he did was, when you read John, read it afterwards, John chapter number 1. John chapter 1, number 1, when you read that after verses 29, it gives you the next day, the second day, the third day. When Jesus stepped into ministry, what he did on the first day, second day, third day. So when he stepped into the ministry, what happened is, first of all, he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told John, who was baptizing, the Holy Spirit revealed to John that whom I will rest upon, that is the Son of God, that is the Messiah. So when Jesus came to be baptized like other normal people, he saw the Holy Spirit come. And that's why John said that this is the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come. Because the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was the first witness. Remember the witness by the water, the blood, and the Spirit? The Spirit of God, Jesus came out of the water. Jesus was born as a human being by the blood. He came out of the water by the water, and the Holy Spirit witness by the Spirit. So the blood, the water, and the Spirit witnesses that Jesus is Christ. Okay, hallelujah. Are we understanding? So the witness gave witness to John, and he believed in Jesus and confessed that he is the Messiah. So who was the first believer? John was the first believer. So after, read it afterwards, I don't have time. John chapter number 1, stay with me. Then after John said Jesus is the Messiah, two of his disciples, who were they? John, not the other John of the Gospel of John. That John and Andrew heard him saying that and saw Jesus, and they followed after Jesus. So these two became the first disciples. Then these two draw the other people, the Peter and all those people. You see that in John chapter number 1. They brought these guys to Jesus and told them, you know what? That John the prophet has witnessed Jesus is the Messiah. So on the basis of his words, of John's word, disciples gathered to Jesus. And after the disciples were gathered to Jesus, the first place they went to was the wedding of Cana. Listen to me. So Jesus, I'm explaining you John chapter number 2, verse number 4, why he said my hour has not yet come. So Jesus went with the disciples and mother to the wedding of Cana. Now he went to the wedding of Cana before the wilderness, before going to the fasting and praying. So he was instructed by God to go into fasting and praying, after which his legal ministry will start. So he went to the wedding of Cana before his wilderness fasting and praying. I have studied the Bible. I'm teaching. You can search it afterwards. So before the fasting and praying, and that's why, because he did not enter into the wilderness to, and after which God will allow him to start the ministry. That's why he told the mother, "My hour has not yet come." That's why he told. Are we understand? Hallelujah. Did you understand that? Okay. Hallelujah. That's why he said to the mother, "Why? My hour has not yet come, because I am not even allowed yet right now to step into ministry, because I did not go through some processes." But what happened there? But the mother knew that Jesus can do something, because even before Jesus stepped into the miracle ministry, his miracle working power was witnessed by a close person, that is his own mother. That brings me to the realization that even when he was not in ministry, in the house, the people around Jesus realized that this is a special man. This is a special man. And the people around, because already they knew, the mother knew, even Joseph knew, because his birth, the angels came and told. So they knew everything, but they knew that some things he did were miracles in the house. Before God will use you to perform miracles in the public, he will use to perform miracles in your house before the people in the house, in private. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the people, amen. any issue any issue that came, the mother of Jesus did not went to anyone, but she came to Jesus because she knew this child is special. He can hear God. He can do some things that other people cannot do. That's why she came to Jesus. You know what? I have recognized that the wine is over. The wine is over. But Jesus said, "Woman." So there are many things in this. When it comes to the concern of the kingdom of God and the work of the kingdom, he did not say mother, he said woman. So there is no mother, no father in the kingdom work. So when it comes to the concerns of the kingdom, he did not say mother, he said woman. What I have to do with you? My hour has not yet come. Why do you want me to do all these things now? Hallelujah. Amen. So in the house, when you are not eating food, when you are not washing your plates, and your mother is coming and telling you, "Go and wash the plates. Go and do this," you will say, "Yes, mother, I will do it," because it concerns the house. But when it comes to the father's house, she becomes not a mother to you. She becomes a woman. Because you tell the mother, "No, woman, in this kingdom that I'm working for, I cannot hear you. I have to hear someone else. So in this kingdom, you are not my mother. You are a woman." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are people there? Yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So many pastors don't realize that. They listen to their wives. Why I tell this, I'm not targeting anyone. I know pastors that have dwindled down in ministry. They don't know they are on the same position, but in spiritual realms, they have dwindled down because they consider the wife in the house as a wife, but even in the kingdom of God, they consider their wife as a wife, and every decision that they take for the kingdom of God, they incline their ears to their wife. "Honey, what should I do? Honey, God told me to go for fasting. Can I go? Can I leave you, honey?" No, you cannot leave me. "Okay, I will not go, honey." She is not your honey when it comes to God. Hallelujah. Do you recognize that? I'm talking scripture. When God called Abraham, "Go to a foreign land. I am going to make you this." He did not go, "Honey, this is the voice of God I heard. Can we go? Can I take your permission?" No, he went because God spoke to him. Hallelujah. So that's why he said, "Woman." What did he say? Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Why your concern? Don't put it on me. My hour has not yet come. I will not do anything." But that is what I like about godly men of God. Sometimes they say no, and then God, "Why did you say no? I want you to do that." So when God told him, why did he do that? We will come to that. Do we see that? Mary was concerned, the mother of Jesus was concerned about the wine was not there. Came and told to Jesus. Jesus said, my hour has not yet come. Verse number 5, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine. And when the guests have drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. Verse number 11. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. This beginning of signs. What was that? A sign. What did Jesus do? Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples, underline that, his disciples believed in him. All right, that is a miracle, that is a sign that he is the one who is the producer of new wine. Hallelujah. Now there I can teach you many prophetic revelations from that miracle. One of it is the state of the church. One of it is the state of a church. So a miracle is not just a miracle. A miracle is a sign of deep revelation. That if you understand that miracle, it will reveal Christ to you immeasurably. And what Christ can do, and who is he? One of the meaning of this miracle is what Jesus is going to do with the house of God. The master of the feast, and then the bride, the bridegroom, these all people signifies the heads and the leaders of the church. The wine is over, but they did not even know the wine is over. It signifies the house of God, where the leaders of the church don't even know that the presence of God is lacking there. They are continuing to function as they are supposed to function. But then Mary signifies the intercessor. An intercessor, a prayer warrior, immediately understands when there is no presence, no wine in the church. And the intercessor, what she does is, she does not criticize the leader. What she does is, she secretly goes to Jesus to tell him the problem. And then Jesus. Now, when the intercessor brings the problem, now everything else, the leaders and the people in the church are acting like everything is fine. There is great music. There is great praise. There is great worship. Everything is going on good, but they don't even know that the wine is over. The presence is not there. The glory is not there. The revelation is not there. People are filled in the flesh. They are not filled in the spirit. Because there is no wine. There is no wine. They are acting up as if everything is normal. But an intercessor feels the pinch. They are sensitive to the presence. They are sensitive. And they go and intercede. Lord, there is a lack of presence. Even though people don't know you, there is a lack of presence. She goes to Jesus. And then Jesus, what he does? Secretly, he worked with who? Those servants who were ignored in the wedding. Those servants who were doing the course of the wedding, performing those work, simple work of the wedding. He went to them and he said, fill the water pots with water. And you take the water. And when they were taking the water, it turned into wine. So that signifies that Jesus is going to work with people who are not known to everyone, who are not in the pulpit, but he will work with people who are in the secret place, and he is going to produce new wine, new revelations that will, hallelujah, the glory of God, the presence of God that is going to flow in the house of God. That is what the miracle, that is one of the revelations of the miracle. Are we understanding that? What Jesus is going to do. Every miracle is a deep, reveals a deep understanding about the work of Jesus, about the revelation of the Messiah. Every miracle. So what did it say? What Jesus did was a what? The Bible says in verse number 11, was a sign for the disciples to believe that the system of the synagogue is going to change. Because I am going to bring new wine. The teachings of Jesus. I am going to bring new wine from which people will start to drink. And they will forget about the old wine. What is the old wine? The teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the house of God. And when the disciples saw it, the disciples believed. What they believed? That this is the Messiah. And this is the work he is going to do in Israel. This is the work he is going to do in Judah. They believed. Are we understanding miracles now? Okay. Now, I don't have time to show you. After this happened, when I told you, when you study the scriptures, you will understand. After this, he went down to Capernaum and his mothers and brothers. And now the Passover of Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now, after this, when you parallelly compare the scriptures before going to Jerusalem to the Passover. When you compare the scriptures, the next event that falls is he went to the wilderness for fasting. Okay? Are you understanding what I'm saying? When you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, John carefully and make a arrangement of events. Now, this miracle of the Cana of Galilee is not mentioned in Matthew, Luke, and Mark. It is not mentioned there. Okay? Then the fasting of Jesus is not mentioned in John. So you have to connect the dots. So after this one, that if you arrange the events, I don't have time to show you. I did that in the sermon very long time back. But when I arranged the events, I understood that after performing the miracle in the Cana of Galilee, he went to the wilderness for the fasting and praying. Then when you read Matthew, Mark, one of the gospel from Matthew, Mark, or Luke, after he came back from the fasting, he went to the disciples. Now, what does the Bible say? How did Jesus meet Peter? He was fishing. He was not able to catch fish. Remember that? And then Jesus said, go and catch fish. What did Peter say? Lord, we haven't caught fish all night, but just because you say it, why is he believing in Jesus? Because that is not the first time he is meeting Jesus. He was with Jesus in the wedding of Cana. And he saw a miracle. Are we understanding? That's why he said, Lord, we did not caught fish. So after even seeing a miracle, and when Jesus went for his fasting, when he came back till that time, these people again went to the business of catching fish. So Peter had the obsession with the business of catching fish. Remember when even Jesus died and resurrected, he appeared, he gave commands. And then after, when he was not there, again he went to catch fish. And he brought all the disciples to catch fish. And then Jesus again had to come and tell him, Peter, do you love me? So he had an obsession with catching fish, even after seeing miracles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But that's why he told Jesus, at your word, Lord, I will put the nets. Why did he put the net at your word? Why did he give importance to the word of Jesus? Because he saw what Jesus did in the wedding of Cana. He was there with Jesus. So this is not the first time he is meeting Jesus. Are we understanding miracles? The miracle that Jesus did in the wedding of Cana was a sign not unto all people, was a sign unto the disciples. And the disciples what? Believed in him. Are we understanding? Okay. Let me go to some other miracles. John chapter number 2, verse number 23. John chapter number 2, same chapter, verse number 23. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. I'm reading from the New King James Version, okay? NKJV. What? Many believed in him in the Passover because of what? Not miracles, signs. So do you understand the miracles of Jesus were signs to confirm that he is the Messiah? He is the Son of God. I am telling you, I am making a statement. No one can match, no one can ever match the miracles that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Because he was given the gift, the power to perform miracles. I know people will come. I know the Bible, John chapter number 14. We will do greater works than this because I am going to the Father. I know that scripture, but I don't have time to come upon that now. But listen to me. He did miracles. People who confess, some pastors are, I am doing greater works than Jesus. I am doing greater works than Jesus, but you did not walk on the water. You did not turn the water into wine. No, you did not do all those things. You did not raise a person who was four days dead already and was decaying. The body was decaying in the grave. You did not do that. How can you say, I dare to say that I am doing greater works than Jesus? There is a context to that. I am telling you, when he said that you will do greater works than Jesus, he was not talking in terms of miracles. He was talking in terms of something else. But I cannot go into that. But I am telling you, Jesus, what he did? He did signs. Signs are actually miracles that he performed so that many would put their faith in him. Another thing, the second sign he performed as per John, the Gospel of John. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. Turn with me there to verse number 47. Now, I have taken these teachings previously, but let me give you a gist of it. Jesus was sent to minister the most, if you ask me, brother, which person's ministry is the most difficult one? My answer is Jesus' ministry was the most difficult ministry because he was sent to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people. Okay? And when he was sent to the Jewish people, he wanted to make sure. So the Jewish people, the problem with the Jewish people is when they see miracles, when they see these things, they can acknowledge that Jesus is a prophet, but they would not acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. He is God himself. They can acknowledge that what? Jesus is a prophet. Yeah, he's a man of God. But they could not acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. And for Jesus to break that stronghold in their mind was very difficult. To break that stronghold in their mind of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, of the Jewish people. So when you read the Gospel of John, all that he did, people acknowledged, even the people of his own city Galilee, of his own place Galilee, acknowledged that he was the prophet. But when it came to acknowledge him as the Son of God, that was the real message of the Gospel. People dwindled away. Okay, any which ways, come with me to John chapter number 4. Verse number 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. Mm-hmm. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Verse number 54, this again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. So this is what the second sign. So the miracles of Jesus was not to make us feel good. Oh, wow, Jesus, we are so amazed, entertained. Perform another miracle for us, please. No, it was sign. There is a meaning. There is an instruction in that miracle that we need to follow. If we witness a miracle of Jesus Christ performed by the Lord, by the power of the Lord. Are we understanding? They were signs. For your information, what are signs? Signs are bringing humans to the acknowledgement of a supernatural force or deity through the working of miracles and wonders. That is a sign. So the miracles of Jesus were all signs that he is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And if people don't get a hold of those signs, they have not understood the miracle. And so, now, the next revelation I want to give you about miracle, that a miracle needs to be understood. Everyone say that a miracle needs to be understood. Hallelujah. A miracle needs to be understood. I'm not saying that. Jesus himself says that. In John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, verse number 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, this is after the miracle that Jesus performed of multiplying the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay? So people were amazed after that miracle. It was impossible. Hallelujah. I have seen pastors who say, "I am doing greater works than Jesus, but you did not multiply 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed the 5,000. This was impossible, what Jesus did. Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000, not people, families. So there were above, individually if you count, above 5,000 people. So after looking at this, the bunch of people, the crowd started to follow Jesus. When they came to Jesus, now Jesus is the speaker of truth. What did he say to them? He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." Hallelujah. So what he is saying to people, that you are following me not because you understood the sign or the miracle, but because you enjoyed the miracle. Hallelujah. There is much what Jesus is speaking to the people, and there is much in that in what Jesus is speaking to the church. Hallelujah. I performed that miracle. I performed that miracle as a sign for you to understand, the importance and the seriousness of what I am going to, what you need to have from me, the bread, the loaves, the bread you were filled with and you enjoyed it. That's why you are coming after me, but not because you understood my miracle. The meaning of my miracle is for you to understand that I am the one who is going to, I am the bread of life. That if you eat of me, if you eat of my word, then you will have everlasting life. You can eat those loaves and fishes that I multiplied, enjoy the miracle and die if you did not understand my miracle. The meaning of my miracle is I am the bread of life, and that you, if you eat of me, of my word, you will have eternal life. That was the revelation of my miracle. So he is telling people, you are following me not because you understood my miracle, not you because you understood the sign of my miracle, but because you just enjoyed and were entertained by the miracle. Hallelujah. Are we together, people of God, until now? Miracles are signs that need to be understood. God is performing a miracle in your life, not because just he wants to boost you up, or he wants to entertain you, or he wants to, you know, he wants to give you a good day, a very good day. God is performing a miracle because he is speaking to you something. There is a word, there is a revelation. Hallelujah. People of God, are you there? Can you say amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Stay with me. Please stay with me. Verse number 28. Verse number 28. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they said to him, listen to this now, what people are saying. What sign will you perform? What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. So the people have a mentality to see more miracles. To see more miracles. Hallelujah. This is the state of the church. The church is filled because they want to be entertained by miracles. And I have seen churches where the service goes for 5 hours. And in that 5 hours, not even the Bible is opened. Everything is, I am prophesying, this is happening, that is happening. And all of them are performance and miracles and entertainment. There is not even the Bible being opened there, the word being opened there. And why the people are coming? Because they want to see more entertainment. They want to see more miracles. There are churches where pastor, okay, you come and sit on the chair, and the chair is anointed, and he brings people, try to sit on the chair, because I sat on the chair, and look, and they come and they do all those gimmicks and fall down. No one is able to sit on the chair, and the pastor shows, see, that is the anointing on me. That is entertainment. That is not a miracle, because it is leading people nowhere. Am I able to explain you something? What is a miracle? What is the real miracle? Jesus wants to speak to you. There should be a meaning. It should not be a meaningless performance. So the people here are saying, our father ate manna in the wilderness. We heard about that miracle. What more can you do for us? And you know, to your surprise and my surprise, Jesus did not say, I have power of miracles. I will show you some more miracles. Jesus said, I will show you no miracles. Now hear my sermon. Now you're the understanding of the miracle I already performed. I am not a performer or entertainer who will perform one miracle after the other for you. Are you understanding? But you see that happening in churches, one after the other, this and that. I'm not saying that everything is wrong, but when you discern it, it's entertainment. There is an entertainer, there is a joker, like in the circus, entertaining people with his skills, and people are getting entertained. I'm telling you, if someone starts to preach the real gospel, the people will not like that in the church, because they are used to entertainment. These guys who are there, so there is a crowd in the church. Most of them are spectators. But how many students of the word are there in the church? How many students of revelation are there in the church? How many students who have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and who long for the spirit of understanding, are there in the church? Hallelujah. Miracles are to make you understand more about the Lord Jesus. Miracles is to reveal more about him and what actually he wants to do for you. So look at this. Verse number 31, the people are saying, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. That is the miracle he did. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews complained against him, and he said, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. These are the same people who were amazed. Wow, 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 Jesus, you are great. You did that miracle, we acknowledge. But when Jesus told the meaning of the miracle, they were not able to receive the revelation of the miracle. They said, aha, how can he say that he is the bread? He just multiplied the bread that you cannot do. Hallelujah. He fed you with the bread, and not even bread, even the fishes, to signify that he is the prophet that Moses talked about. There will come a prophet among you, Moses said, who will perform the same signs, and he is the Messiah. The Jewish people did not understood that. So I want to ask the church tonight, are you just getting entertained by the miracle, or you are even receiving the revelation of the miracle? Are you like the Pharisees? Are you like the people there in the bunch, most of them, who just want another miracle? Are you like people there that who just want another miracle that they will enjoy? You know, that's why people go to watch football match, because they get entertained. That's why people go to watch concert, because they get entertained. But God's platform is not for entertainment. God's platform is to sanctify you, is to discipline you, is to break your ego, is to break my flesh. That is God's plan, is to bring you closer to the living God. It's not entertainment. It's not entertainment. Hallelujah. You know it is happening. There are people who are entertaining people, all sorts of props and this and that. That's entertainment. God's platform is not to entertain. Some few months back, I had a dream. And God gave me that dream because God was showing me something creeping into our platform. So I got up from that dream and I canceled it. In that dream, I saw myself in a room, and I was going to take the meeting on the Zoom. But when I started the Zoom, I saw some other people were doing the Zoom, you know, taking over the Zoom. And what these people, how we start by prayer and then by worship, by glorifying God. But these people who came on the Zoom start to project a video, a skit, you know, like a movie on the Zoom, like a movie for entertainment on the Zoom for the Christian. Huh? Hallelujah. Did you ask me anything? Okay. So listen to me. So these people were entertaining people on the Zoom through casting a movie. Then I was sitting there and start thinking, what is this? No prayer, no worship. Who are these people? Who made them leaders here? Huh? Who made them leader? How can they show a movie? And when they started to show the movie, listen to me. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not ashamed of it. They started to show the movie, and I saw one after the people coming and joining the Zoom. And the count of people were going above 100. But I was not happy, oh, so many people are coming. I was saying, I don't have so many people that God gave me. There are around 25 to 30 that come. But who are these people? I don't know them. And they are not taught by God. Someone else is entertaining them. That's why they are coming. One after the other. I was not happy because a lot of numbers I see on the Zoom. But I was thinking, and I was praying and thinking, no, these are not the sheep that God gave me. These are goats that want to be entertained. These are not sheep that want to be taught. Hallelujah. Jesus did not tell to Peter, entertain my goats. He said to Peter, what? Feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. Feed my sheep. But so many churches are entertaining goats. And that's why you see numbers there. That's why you see, I don't have time. You can read after John, what I'm reading, John chapter 4. Read John chapter 5, 6 and 7 afterwards. You will see the crowds that were following Jesus reduced to only 12. So the number, pastors don't like that. But Jesus was okay with it, because he did not want it quantity, he wanted quality. Hallelujah. Are you understanding miracles? Miracles were not to gather quantity. Miracles were to gather the real people who understood miracles, the quality. He wanted sheep who wanted to study who wanted to be learned, who wanted to learn. He did not wanted goats who want entertainment. So I was in that dream, and then many things happened in that dream I don't want to tell. Actually, the dream was about another servant of God who has a mega church and who was trying to send spells on me, and he wanted to make me his spiritual son. So in the realm of the spirit, I am not going to become anyone's spiritual son. Oh God, that is another topic. I don't want to come on that. But for this ministry, there is no spiritual sons and daughters here. You are all sons and daughters of God. You're no one is a son to me. Hallelujah. No one is a son to me. No one is a daughter to me. I am hesitant. I am hesitant because I am young. I am very hesitant to call a 50 years old man my son. I will not do that anytime. So all those things. So he wanted to make me his spiritual son, and he was trying to send spells. And what he was trying to show me is, you are doing ministry with few people, but I can make your ministry big and a lot of money and all those things if you become my spiritual son. That is what the dream was about. After I got up, I recognized, and I canceled his entrance into the platform that God gave me. I canceled his entrance. I canceled the entrance. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? So, any which ways, this, when I started the ministry, I saw some signs and dreams and vision through which God started to tell me, Rahul, you should never go to minister on other platforms until I specifically tell you, never go, because this platform that I have made, it is holy, and you shall only minister on this one. So you will not see me anywhere. You will only see me with the teaching of the word of God to the area that God has placed me and to the places that God has placed me in. You will not find me anywhere else, because most of the platforms are Babylon, where they are entertaining people. Hallelujah. Any which ways, God is bringing a move, and God is bringing the real miracles back to life again in the church. Hallelujah. These are miracles. So miracles are not to gather crowds, people of God. Miracles are never to gather. That is what I study my Bible and I understood. Miracles, Jesus did that miracle not to gather crowd. But he wanted people to understand that he is the bread of heaven. Every miracle that he did had a message. So do you now understand that miracles needs to be understood? They have a message. It's not for entertainment. Jesus wants to speak to you something. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay. God, the next thing is, God confirms his word. God confirms his word through miracles, signs, and wonders. Acts chapter number 2. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 22. Acts chapter number 2, verse number 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourself also know. So he was attested by God, and he showed you the works of God, miracles, signs, and wonders. God confirms his gospel, his word, his truth through miracles, signs, and wonders. Mark chapter number 16. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 16, and verse number 20. And they went out, verse number 22, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. I am telling you, if you preach the word of God, you don't have to worry about miracle. Because you are preaching the word of God, God has taken the responsibility to confirm his own word through the happening of miracles, signs, and wonders through your life. You might say, brother, do I have to seek and go for impartation to get the working of miracles? No, you just have to preach the truth, and miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. Hallelujah. Just have to preach the truth. Miracles, signs, and wonders will follow you. Unexpected will happen. I am telling you, I have witnessed that. I recently went to a village where I went, and it was not a big arrangement, but still I went. I wanted to preach the gospel, and I was in a house of a politician. The politician, the ruling politician, and that woman and the family were not Christians, they were Hindus. And I was in the and but God told me to go there because he wanted to bring the word of God there. I went there. It was not a big gathering expected, but I started in the evening. In the evening, I started. Some people came in the living room, and they sat. So I started to teach the word. I started to preach the gospel to those people around 7:30, 8 o'clock, and there were some people who were there. But by the time 9 o'clock, after 1 hour, I finished preaching, and then I started to minister to people, deliverance and healing and all those stuff. By that time, I saw that the streets were filled. I don't know how people started to come. People started to come all around from nearby villages. So I had to extend one after the other, one after the other. The news spread. So you don't have to think about who you are and this and that. You just have to go with the gospel, with the truth of God's word, without fear. Hallelujah. So whenever you teach, it says they preach the gospel, and God confirming his word that they are preaching, that I am with them through miracles, signs, and wonders. Miracles, signs, and wonders confirm the word of God. Another example, Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 3. Verse number 3. Therefore, they stayed there a long time, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Hallelujah. When God says, okay, Raul, you are preaching my word, miracles, signs, and wonders will flow. It says, what it says, the Lord himself, who was bearing witness to the word of his grace that they were saying, they were preaching, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Hallelujah. Amen. So you just have to teach and preach the word of God. Hallelujah. It's the authenticity of the things you say that will bring the working of miracles through your life. It is the authenticity of the things you speak. Hallelujah. Amen. But there are people who are not authentic enough to speak the voice of God, but still they perform wonders, because I will come to that interesting topic. Hallelujah. Those are demonic signs, wonders, and miracles. Okay. Hallelujah. Do we understand that? God confirms his word through miracles, signs, and wonders. Okay. The next thing I'm going to come now, which is very, very important. False signs, wonders, and miracles. False signs, wonders, and miracles. Let's see that. Let's look at that. First Thessalonians, chapter number 8. First Thessalonians, chapter number 8. Oh, sorry, not chapter number 8. There is no chapter number 8. Hold on. First Thessalonians. And no, not First Thessalonians, Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. And let's read from verse number 7. Verse number 7, okay? Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. Let's read from verse number 7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. Who is this lawless one? The Antichrist, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the what? Working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. The coming, can you read the verse together with me? You need to read that verse with me vocally. Verse number 9, let's read. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonder.
and signs and lying wonders.
Amen. Now listen to me very carefully.
Amen.
I'm going to say and explain this, which I previously have taught in some of the sermons, but the coming of the lawless one, Antichrist, what does that mean? When the nearing of the revealing of the Antichrist will be at hand, what will happen in the church is a lot of lying signs, wonders, and miracles will start to happen. Now, what is the definition of a false miracle or a wonder? Or of a lying wonder? What is the definition? A false miracle sign, listen to me, a false miracle sign is to draw people to the supernatural power of the devil. Is to draw people to the supernatural power of the devil to acknowledge the devil as God through the spirit and the person of Antichrist and his agents, leading people to sin and lawlessness. Let me come again. A false miracle sign is to draw people to the supernatural power of the devil to acknowledge the devil as God through the spirit and the person of Antichrist and his agents, leading people to sin and lawlessness. Are we together on that? That is the definition I want to give you about a lying sign, wonder, and miracle. Now, listen to me. I had a dream. Most of you would have heard me on this, but listen to me. I had a dream from the Lord, and in this dream, I was standing in a room which was dark, and there was a reddish black light that was there in the room. Very gloomy kind of light and very, very gloomy kind of atmosphere. So I was there, in front of me, another person was there, and in front of me, a lady, a Christian lady, whom I know to be carnal Christian, you know, very much in the flesh. She was there, very much into sin and all those things, but still a Christian, so-called Christian. She was there. And in front of us, there was an old lady. Now, this lady was dressed up like an old Indian attire, you know, all those Indian attire. This lady was dressed up like that, an old lady. And what she was doing there is, she was drinking alcohol. She was drinking alcohol from a glass. Suddenly, when I saw at this old lady, what happened is the alcohol glass fell down from her hand because her hand and one side of her body got paralyzed. And the alcohol glass fell down from her hand and it broke. It was shattered and she was paralyzed one side. Then she started to cry out for help. Can someone pray? Pray for me. She wanted to get healed. And she was asking someone to pray for her. I said in my heart, through the Spirit of God in me, I am not going to pray for her. Because she wants to get prayed and healed to again start to drink the alcohol. She wants that miracle to happen, the healing to happen, to again start to drink the alcohol. So I'm not going to pray for her. So I did not pray for her. But the lady, the carnal Christian who was standing there, She became very aggressive. Aggressive, I mean, her body language became very aggressive. She started to shake her head and pray in tongues. Oh, I feel your pain. Oh, what happened to you? For that lady, I will pray. And she started to speak in demonic tongues, and pray for that lady. When she started to pray for that lady, I saw the glass pieces that were shattered on the ground starting to come together. The alcohol starting that was spilled over starting to come back in the glass. And simultaneously, her side was getting healed and the paralysis going away. And the alcohol glass supernaturally came together, the alcohol in the glass, and came back to her hand. And she was healed completely and the alcohol came back to her hand. And then this lady started to, oh, wow, thank you for praying for me. Praise God, thank you. And she was shouting and praising, I am able, again healed, and I am again able to drink the alcohol. And I got up from the dream. And the Lord, and I said, Lord, what do you want to speak to me? What is this weird dream? And the Lord told me that time, I want to give you the definition of what 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 9 says. This is a lying wonder. This is a lying miracle. And a lying miracle and wonder is happening in my house. is happening in my churches, where the devil is healing, the devil is doing miracle, he is doing miracle to lead people to sin and lawlessness. Do we understand that? There are so many people nowadays coming in the church. Pastor, I want my stuck money, that property, this and that. I want that money. I want this property. I am not that pastor or the servant of God who will pray for, oh, I release breakthrough, that money. No, I will ask God first. Lord, is he asking for prayer in a legal matter? Or is he corrupt? And is he coveting other people's money and property? So the devil is interested to cause miracles to happen and wonders to be made, to not to lead people to Christ, but to lead to people into more sin and lawlessness. Are we understanding the definition of the lying wonder and miracle, people of God? Can we have an amen now? Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Are we understanding, people? So you see a church and you see the church service for 12 hours and everything. Oh, there are miracles happening. But the whole congregation lives in lawlessness and sin. The miracles are not done by God. The miracles are done by the devil there. All of them are living in sin and lawlessness. There is no teaching of holiness. There is no teaching, thorough teaching of the doctrine of the word of God. The pastor nowadays not even opens the Bible. All he does is he calls name of, I see this person. Okay, call, bring them here. Okay, I see you the next day. I see you the previous day. I see your name. I see the whole time they are doing that. Hallelujah. And if they are not led to a holy life and to bring them more closer to Christ, that miracle is a lying wonder, is a lying miracle, is a lying sign. So that is what I want to tell you. A false miracle sign is to draw people to the supernatural power of the devil. Oh my God, I am out of time. Supernatural power of the devil. To acknowledge the devil as God through the spirit and the person of Antichrist and his agents. Do you know in the church there are people who are the agents having the spirit of Antichrist, and they have been given the power to work miracles, not by the spirit of God, by the spirit of Antichrist. They lead people to sin and lawlessness. Another word I want to give you related to this, what Jesus said in Matthew's chapter number 24. Matthew's chapter number 24 and verse number 24. Matthew's 24, verse number 24. Matthew's 24, verse number 24. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Are you the elect? Yes, you are the elect. That's why you are sitting here. So if possible, you can be deceived. How? By the signs, wonders, and miracles, if you don't understand the real meaning of signs, wonders, and miracles. The false Christ and prophets will come and perform lying signs, wonders, and miracles by the power of the devil to lead people to corruption, to lead people to covetousness, to lead people to more love of money, to lead people to sin, to addiction, to be drunkards, to immorality. Yes, they will perform signs, wonders, and miracles by the power of the devil to, if possible, to even deceive the elect. I am going to stop here because the next thing I want to start, I think I should start it afresh because it's a vast topic. But let me give you a gist for the next meeting. The next thing we are going to go is, this teaching is very important. People of God, listen to me. Because if you understand this teaching, you can escape the deception of the mark of the beast. Because many Christians will take the mark of the beast. You know why? Because they will be deceived by a lying sign wonder. By a lying wonder to... Because the beast will be given the power to, the beast will be given power by the dragon. Who is the dragon? Who is the beast? I will come. You know, that's a vast topic. By the dragon, that is the system of Satan, the snake that became the big dragon now, will be given power by the dragon to perform lying wonders. And Christians will fall into it, because Christianity is heading more towards entertainment rather than to disciplined study of the word of God and the understanding of God and coming close to God. That's why many elect will fall, because your mind will be amazed and shocked by the things that you will see on TV, by the things you will see performed by those who are not of God. Your mind will be shocked. And you will be forced to acknowledge. What did I say? What is a sign? Signs are for humans to acknowledge that there is a supernatural force. So people through wonders, I am telling you, elect will be deceived. They will come to me, Brother Rahul, that has happened. How can he not be of God? Because you don't have understanding. You are not taught. So I am telling you, the next phase of the working of miracles, I am going to give you that teaching next meeting on Friday. You are going to understand. I'm going to also bring to your notice many things that have escaped your mind, that has happened in the world, but you don't know about it. Like they trying to mimic the resurrection of Jesus on the international TV, and many things I'm going to bring to your notice that you will be amazed that, I can fall for this deception. Why they are doing all these things? But because they are building a platform for the Antichrist to come in power as a supernatural being, a human, but with supernatural powers. So Christians need to understand very thoroughly what is a real sign, wonder, and miracle, which is from God. Hallelujah. Are we together? I want to stop there because it's a vast topic and I cannot start it now. So let's pray. Father, hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus, I want to give you the praise. I want to give you the glory for everything. Oh Lord, that you spoke to us, Father, and I pray that you will continue to teach us your ways, your word. It says, Israel saw your works, but Moses knew your ways. Father, we just don't want to see your works, get entertained by miracles, but we want to know thy ways, oh God. We want to be like Mary, who come closer, sit at your feet to listen to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father, I want to give you the glory. Hallelujah. Reboko ziam panto kora pande. Prando ko zibando robo shebra takala bora bande. Laha prando robo siandra bakatara bande yanto kora bonde rebe. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, this sister who is Sandhya sister, the Lord wants to tell you that you have a gift, and you have a gift of, because I see you raising up your hands and in worship, but along with worship, you have another gift. You have a gift of prophetic dancing, of a dance gift. Because I see you, Rabba Sokoto Rabonde Reban Taka, because that is what the Lord is showing me, that you are taking those flags, you know, doing a holy dance, a prophetic dance. And I remember the word. Why I'm saying prophetic dance? Because there is something in Exodus that I remember when I have this vision about you. And I think that is in Exodus. Give me a moment. Exodus chapter number 15. When you read that, Exodus chapter number 15. Yes, verse number 20. It says, then Miriam the prophetess. So Miriam was a prophetess. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. That kind of ministry I'm talking about. So Miriam sang and Miriam danced, and Miriam led a group of women who praised the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That is hallelujah. That is the gift God has given you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Robol sakaboto robo. I pray that you also have the God has given you in that area of gifting, the ability to write songs, the ability to write scripts of the tunes of heaven in the name of Jesus. But that gift is not yet unveiled, because some powers of the enemy are holding it in the background in the name of Jesus Christ, and they are mocking your gift. Mocking that gift in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Rabbah, I break the hold of the enemy upon her life right now. in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Rafa Sokoto. Rebana Kabarabanto Robolo. Every monitoring spirits and every I pray against people who carry demons around her. And I see people poking nose in your business, trying to get into your business, trying to control you, trying to, you know, without your permission and without your approval, get poking their nose. I cancel those spirits. I cancel, in the name of Jesus, paralyze those demonic spirits. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, separate out those people. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Porabaka sipoto rabanika evadona. Flekazo rabanoko di amprando robo. Pra every altars that are performing ritual witchcraft activities in the name of Jesus Christ. Rabasokoto yorobo sem prando robolo. Rabada rabalaha against your relationships, against your mind, and every control through those altars, through those rituals, be broken right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every time you do something for God, there is an attack against the work that you do for God. I break the attack and I nullify the power of those demonic spirits in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Rabadi Rabanoko Fardino Safandro Fozia Travanda. Oh Lord, I pray that you will lead this sister, Lord Holy Spirit. I pray even as this time I pray for her, and Lord, you she is sitting in your presence. I pray that you will pour out your oil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, your understanding, Lord, and a fresh understanding, Lord, to walk in the ways of God. Open our eyes to the things of God. Oh, in the name of Jesus Christ, and let the enemy be exposed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh Lord, destroy the send the word of the Lord. There is a lot of witchcraft that I see, several things. Cannot mention that one by one, but I send the word of the Lord to destroy those witchcraft altars right now. A lot of control, a lot of torment that people send to your body through witchcraft, in the might to your mind, to your physical body, in the name of Jesus. I break those altars right now in the name of Jesus. Every control over our mind, every stronghold, be pulled down in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, touch a life, Father. Thank you for each and every person, your God. Hallelujah. Rabba sokotiam pranto kolabani rebensi andarebe. Pora kadaraba, Lord, every stronghold in the minds of people, I pull it down now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Rabba kado rebensi anta karabandaraba. Oh, Lord, I pray for your grace upon this sister, that when she does your work, Lord, hallelujah, you will flourish it and multiply it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the enemy and the witchcraft will not be able to manipulate the works of her hands. Oh, the labor of the Lord that she does in your kingdom, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I give you the praise. I give you the honor. Father, I cover all your precious people with the blood of Jesus Christ. May they be saved from the lying wonders and signs and miracles that is already come in our midst, in the church. Oh Lord, by the spirit of Antichrist. Oh Lord, we Lord, empower your people. Oh Lord, with the gift of the working of miracles. Oh, though we are earthen vessels, but the power and the glory that works in us and through us is mighty, Lord, and is above any power of the earth, Lord. Hallelujah. Let them realize and walk in that power. Walk in that authority. Walk in the spirit, Lord. Oh Lord, that through your people, Lord, signs, wonders, and miracles will be performed in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We give you the praise. We give you the honor once again. And in Jesus' mighty name we pray. We all shout amen. Hallelujah. Let's give a shout of hallelujah.